News. I'm Serena Abuljood.
Welcome back to another episode of Beats and Beyond. This is your host, Ari Najani. Episode 11. This is a new week, a new day, some beautiful weather. Not yet, later in the day. So we're very excited to be here today for a new episode of Beats and Beyond. Wednesday, 9 a.m. at CJLO. We have Benjamin in the house. He is the president and CEO of Montreal United Football Club. And we're super, super excited to have him here. You all know I'm a big soccer fan, football fan, whatever you like to call it. And having Benjamin here is absolutely special. It's one of my favorite episodes so far. It's a promo post that we've had the most interactions with so far. So we're very excited to have Benjamin come on. We're going to start with a couple bangers. Tiki Taka by Vakra to start the show. And in a couple minutes, we'll have Benjamin strapped in, ready to go for the show. So this is just the beginning.
Elle n'était pas là, elle aimerait un duplicata. Possession amour tiki-taka, je suis Jack, elle sautait matcha. Je me suis attaché, à la base je voulais que ça chata. Le faire sur Windows Shop, elle smoke la weed comme Wiz Khalifa. Tu m'as dit d'avoir des love affaires, mais je veux pas rester locataire. Elle connaît mon G-A-N-G, sur moi dans ma fast life. T'es relou mais les autres font pas le poids. J'espère que t'as compris la phase là. T'es ma black widow, ma baby mama. T'es ma locomotive, chou-chou, baby tout. J'me suis mis dans des galères pour you, Charlotte. Piu-piu. Rêve d'un doute, pas d'un toutou pour moi. T'es ma locomotive, chouchou, baby.
It's a brand new week, and I'm super excited to be back, particularly because we have someone who's from the sports industry, someone who is pushing boundaries, making sure that we're all on our feet, waiting for young individuals, young entrepreneurs, young CEOs, young presidents to take over businesses. And this one in the realm of sports makes it even more special. I want to address a couple pieces of news before we go into our interview segment. The main talking point for this week has been the pro-Palestinian encampment at McGill University. Just yesterday, we received news that McGill University has requested the Montreal police to assist them in clearing the pro-Palestinian encampment. McGill President Deep Saini said, "As we have failed to reach a resolution yesterday, late afternoon," referring to Tuesday, the 30th of April, "we took the final step in our protocol and requested police assistance. Police representatives who have expertise in skillfully resolving situations such as these are beginning their own process. We continue to work with them to resolve the matter. This is an extremely crucial moment in the history of McGill University. enabling the police force to come onto campus and forcefully remove students from their premises is not something that we see very often. This is a special matter, a matter of concern that the Montreal community should be aware about and should care about and should consider what the reasons are for such an action to take place and what the foreseeable circumstances are. I think, personally, there are a lot of complex situations that universities are dealing with all over North America. Today, we are seeing arrests taking place on the Columbia University premises, and I believe a lot of university students need to have their voice heard and are resorting to different ways and methods of doing so. An encampment is one of those ways, and we're seeing a trend all over North America. Hopefully, we get out of this situation without any casualties and everyone's maintained their safety and students are still heard in a way that is respectable, that does not involve police force, that does not involve a us versus you kind of situation, but university environments and campuses that are safe for students to express their concerns and their ideas and their notions and their feelings about international matters. Moving on to something more soccer-related or football-related, the Champions League is back. Real Madrid and Bayern Munich had a game yesterday at the Allianz Arena in Munich, Germany. 2-2 was the final score awaiting the second leg. And today we have a huge match between Paris Saint-Germain, PSG, and Borussia Dortmund. This is a huge game for Kylian Mbappe, trying to go for his first Champions League trophy with PSG. Some might suggest this might be his last season with the club. So hopefully we get to see a couple more trophies coming his way before his supposed transfer to Real Madrid. Next up, we have a song that was super famous, super viral during the World Cup in Qatar. After that, we'll have Benjamin strapped up and ready for our interview segment. That song never fails to cheer me up. Coming up, we have our first ad break of the session, a little earlier than usual, but we want to get Benjamin in to the interview segment as soon as possible. We have a lot to talk about. So this is our first interview segment of our first ad segment of the show.
Jamaica Association of Montreal and Indie Roots Records have come together to bring you Wumban, an all-female artist showcase to bring ovarian cancer awareness to the community and to raise money for Ovarian Cancer Canada. On Friday, May 17th, 8 p.m. at the Jamaica Association of Montreal at 4065 Jean Talon West, Metro Namur. It's a free event, just donate. all funds going to Ovarian Cancer of Canada. For more info, 514-792-4775. This ad is sponsored by CJLO 1690.
All right, we're back on Beats and Beyond, episode 11. This is Ariana Johnny in the studio with Benjamin. Benjamin, how are you doing today?
Hey, Ariane. Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for being here. I know you're an absolutely busy man. You're a president and a CEO. The buck ends with you, let's just say that, at Montreal United Football Club. I want you to tell us in your words who you are, a little bit about your background, and then we're going to dive into Montreal United Football Club. Obviously, this is a club that everyone's seeing on their social media. You guys are popping off everywhere with your cool aesthetic that is quite distinct from a lot of clubs in Montreal. So we appreciate you for being in the studio today. And let's start with very simple background. Benjamin, who are you? Where are you from? And how did you end up in Montreal?
Yeah, perfect. So thanks, Arian, for having me. It's my pleasure to be here. Obviously, to talk about Montreal United, but just to share the space with you. My name is Benjamin Waba. I'm the president and founder of Montreal United FC, otherwise known as Montreal United Football Club. I'm native to Montreal, so I was born here, 22 years old. And current Concordia student, so I'm just finishing my degree here in my second year. A little bit about myself. You know, I've always kind of been involved in the soccer scene. You know, I've been playing since I was three. And then eventually, you know, I still play now, obviously less competitive than before.
Mm-hmm.
Went from playing to coaching. So I spent a couple of years coaching and then from there actually managing some soccer facilities here in Montreal. All this kind of helped gain experience. And then, when I found the time was right, I kind of pursued a club. And it kind of happened naturally.
Interesting. I want to know more about what do you study at Concordia, by the way?
Yeah, sure. So I'm actually in communications and media studies.
Cool.
So it's kind of right up the alley of what we do here. I think that's kind of also a reason why Montreal United does so well on the social media side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. Was there an understanding that that was the way forward before Montreal United Football Club blew up on the sports realm of things? Was social media a huge factor even before the foundation of the club?
Absolutely. I mean, look, I've always kind of had an artistic, creative element mm-hmm. to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Since CJEP, for example, when I was studying graphic design, I knew that when the time came to start a club, I knew that that had to be incorporated in the most perfect way possible.
Right.
Every big club in the world, whether it's professional, non-professional, social media is a tool, not just for soccer clubs, but for businesses and, you know, people in general.
Individuals too. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, exactly. It's a huge, huge part. So I knew that, you know, when the vision came true for Montreal United, we knew that first and foremost, one of the biggest tools that we expose and utilize is social media.
You said we used. I want to ask you more about the foundational basis of this football club. How many people were involved? Was it you with the idea and you required a person A, B, and C to execute? How did that come along?
Yeah, so that's a great question. The club was founded in 2021.
Okay.
So it was kind of during that COVID era.
Yeah.
And the intention was never actually to have a football club. What ended up happening was, you know, we started just a team with some friends. And then from there, one of the guys asked to start kind of a private Instagram page mm-hmm. for the club. And so I was in charge of that. Obviously, I was the one that kind of organized the team, bought uniforms, that whole thing. And I guess the posts, because of how professional they looked, through the studies that I was getting, people from all over just started following. So it kind of went viral in that sense. Initially, it started out with just myself. For that season, at least, the vision, creating the brand, all of that was, you know, day and night working on the computer kind of thing just to get it started. But thank God, you know, we've been able to grow until now, and everything so far so good. You know, now we have staff of around 10 to 12 people. Thank God every day it keeps growing.
That's amazing to hear. I want to ask you, whether are you in charge of the social media side of things and And has that been the case from the start up to now, or has that shifted a little bit?
Absolutely. So yeah, I am in charge of the social media. So anyone that kind of messages the club, I get direct access to.
Right.
One thing I love doing is, you know, replying to DMs. You know, a lot of the times you see big organizations and stuff, they won't reply to kind of the average Joe who tries to message them.
Right.
We try to do things a bit differently here. You know, you don't have to pass through a board of any kind to get to where you want to be.
Right.
You have direct one-on-one communication with the president of the club.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it kind of, and you know, regarding the social media and stuff, my studies are graphic design, media, communications.
It's exactly what you do.
So it almost feels perfect that, you know, I run the
right.
social media.
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. I want to know whether there was a certain moment where you realized maybe playing or managing was not necessarily your end all, and founding a club and running it from the ground up mm-hmm. was your calling. I know it's still in the process of that.
Absolutely.
You haven't realized the extent to which you can grow. But how did you realize that maybe playing wasn't your thing and then you moved on to other stuff?
Yeah, I mean, look, as much as I loved my playing career, you know, playing at some of the highest levels and winning trophies and all that, I've always kind of had a knack for the business side of things. Mm-hmm. You know, I always want to know kind of how things work behind the scenes.
Right.
You know, how do clubs make their money? How do they grow? Like I said, there's always that also artistic element to me. I love to see kind of how these brands not just act on the field, but they're brands, you know,
right.
like they create merchandise, all this stuff.
Absolutely.
So all of this stuff fascinates me a lot. So that's kind of what helped me kind of transition from on the field to, you know, the business side of things.
Right.
I've always liked the idea of entrepreneurship. I think it's, you know, why not? It's a risk, obviously, but, you know, you have the opportunity to make your own hours, work
yep.
for yourself kind of thing.
Yep.
And that's something I've always admired about entrepreneurship. And if I can combine that passion with the passion I have for soccer,
yeah,
it's a beautiful
thing. It's a win-win.
Thing.
Absolutely. I love to hear that. I grew up in Tanzania and Kenya in
okay.
East Africa. And I went to high school in Kenya, which was like a boarding school of sorts. And it is then at the age of maybe 15 or 16 that I personally realized that my playing career was definitely not going to go anywhere. And I loved management from a very young age. I was always the most vocal person on the pitch,
okay.
probably the worst person on the pitch as well. And that is why I was so vocal. I just,
yeah.
I loved the aspect of communication in the back line. I was a center back, played left back for a bit. And I just enjoyed the fact that everyone's on the same page at each time and we're all moving in sync.
Absolutely.
And that almost sparked my managerial interest and passion. So I did management for a little while with my roommate and my best friend called Emilio Merali.
Okay.
We coached the youth team in our high school for about a year or two. And he is an excellent player. He is now signed to your football club.
That's right.
Which is absolutely amazing. I'm so glad to hear that that he's in good hands and he's super excited to play for Montreal United. He spoke a lot about how there was a structure that he had seen way better than he had seen in other clubs
okay.
because he has been playing around Montreal and around East Africa for a long time. And I told him I'm going to interview the president. He's like, oh, Benjamin. I was like, yeah. I was like, how do you know? And then you mentioned how you like to be hands-on. You like to be able to have direct access to the players and vice versa.
Absolutely.
And I think that is so important. Even for a new player like my roommate Emilio coming into the team, it's like he's already integrated without having to go through the whole process of playing a season with a club. You know,
it
takes you above a lot of hurdles, and it brings trust into the team, and you need that more so than anything when playing a game of football or soccer, whatever you like to call it.
Yeah.
Besides from that, how do you transition from the foundational basis of it, that is okay, the social media side of it, that's okay. How do you go about hiring people? How do you know this is the right person for the right job who I can provide the right amount of money for? Because finances are a tricky thing. Having people join a new project is a tricky thing. How did you go about that?
So, you know, it wasn't easy, that's for sure. Any startup, it's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
You know, a soccer club makes its money very simply, player registration, you know, thanks to our partners, we're also able to get exterior funding that helps pay for coaches and
right.
pay for facilities for our players and all that. First off, shout out to Emilio. He's a fantastic player, and we're very, very happy to have him at the club. He's a great spirit to have on the team as well. But yeah, going back to your question, we kind of do the best we can with the resources that we have. So obviously, you know, for example, when we're just starting out in 2021, we're not looking for a coach that's looking for, you know, $80,000 to start and stuff.
Yeah.
The system here in Quebec, if you're not a professional coach, you're not, coaching is not a full-time salary, nor is it for any of the staff. So we're not looking for people that have that as their priority.
Right.
Obviously, you know, your salary is important to us and we do the best that we can. At the start, in all honesty, it was volunteer work. This is a passion project more than anything.
Right.
So if you're coming to a club that's 3-4 years old, I don't think you should expect to get, you know, a full-time salary from it. But who's to say that in the future that won't be the case?
That doesn't happen. Yeah, absolutely.
So when we're talking about hiring staff, like I mentioned before, I love to be hands-on. I need to be the guy interviewing you. Obviously, now we have a technical director who takes care of this. But, you know, for me, at least, I want to know how things are. I don't like to be passive. I need to make sure that, obviously, the morale of the group is okay. The spirits are high.
Yeah.
People are smiling when they're here. It's a family. Right. This is a family club for good players, obviously. And that all starts at the top with the coaching staff. So, you know, when we hire people, it's just like any other company. We do an interview process. You know, you apply, you bring your CV,
right?
Send it online. And then if we think, you know, you might be a good fit, we'll bring you into the club. And and that's it. We thank God, have made some good choices with our coaching staff. We have an excellent team of coaching and technical staff with us. Coach Brian has been absolutely fantastic. Shout out to Yazid, our assistant coach, Patrick as well, and all our staff at the club. They've absolutely been fantastic, and they're an integral part of where we are today.
That's great to hear. That's honestly super great to hear. I almost, listening to all the good things, I want to ask you about the challenges. Starting out, what were some of the major challenges that you faced, and how did you go about them?
You know, it's interesting because I don't want to say there weren't many challenges. Obviously, it's different. We are taking a different approach. Montreal United is the first development club,
right?
Here.
Sorry. Can you explain to our audience what that means?
Yes, of course. So, what our goal is, Montreal United, is we help senior players. Obviously, we have plans to open an academy and stuff, but all this with due time. Right now, we deal with players above the age of 18 that still have that goal of making it pro, or at least to the highest level that they think they can make.
Right.
And so with proper coaching staff, training regimens, you know, filmed matches, we really emphasize and put them in an environment where they can succeed, where they can actually achieve their goals. Unfortunately, what I've seen in my 22 years here is that a lot of the clubs will kind of leave players to dry.
Right.
Once you hit your, you know, U21 AAA,
right,
for example, there's really not many options left for you.
We're
trying to change that a bit. So we are an independent club. So we're not affiliated with, for example, a big board of any kind. We do things our own way, which also helps make us unique from the rest. But that's really the mantra of Montreal United, is we are a development club. We're for the players. That's our priority. Their development is our priority.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit about what we do.
100%. I think that's quite different from a lot of the clubs that I've talked about and heard about. And I love the fact that you very, very quickly are willing to address the fact that you're trying to support players above the age of 18, senior players who are not yet pro and want to make it there and on a different path of their own. I love that because we rarely find institutions that support players like these, or individuals as these, who want to make it pro, who want to make it to the highest level possible. And I love the fact that this is a development club primarily to grow and enhance those players, where usually you see the opposite, where you have good players here to enhance and grow the reputation of the club, and that's it.
And then
they're taken away later on.
I mean, yeah, no, I agree with you. So what I would say is, I think this is something that Montreal has been looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, there's a huge community of players that have that goal to make it pro.
Absolutely.
But they think that, oh, because they're 21, 22 years old, maybe 23, that it's too late for them. You know, yes, you're pushing it, but you need a club like us to help you get there.
Right.
So we have partnerships, not just here in Canada, but international partnerships, European partnerships, agencies that we're with that help create opportunities for players, real opportunities. So our success rate of sending our players to European clubs mm-hmm. is actually much higher than most of the other clubs here. And I think that helps, obviously, with the success that we have.
Yeah.
There's a huge community, like we said, of players that have nowhere to go and that really don't see opportunities for themselves here.
Right.
So oftentimes they might move back home, they might leave, explore other opportunities. But unfortunately, at that point, it might be too late for them. So we want to really bring those opportunities here. They come and they exploit them as much as they can. They take advantage of these opportunities until they end up in Europe. And that's what we do. For example, in the 3 years that we've been here, mm-hmm. last November, November 2023,
yeah.
we sent one of our guys to Portugal. He now plays in the second division in Portugal.
Oh,
so
wow.
this is kind of a little bit about what we do over here.
That's a huge achievement. I love to hear that. The Portuguese league is not easy by any means. So
absolutely
the playing
not.
There is a huge success in every matter. Yeah. But that is a huge achievement on its own. Are there any other achievements that you want to speak a little bit about or address here on the show?
I mean, sure, there's plenty. I mean, first off, I want to thank all the staff, everyone that's been a part of helping make this project come true mm-hmm. and you know, continue to help with its success. But I think the social media, again, plays a huge part in this. Montreal United, the benchmark of its success, the foundation of its success, is largely in part to its social media presence. So if you look at our social media, for example,
yes.
I'm going to give a little plug. It's MTL United FC on Instagram.
Perfect.
Obviously, there's other platforms, but that go check it out. We've actually amassed a combined following on all our platforms of over 50,000 members,
wow.
which means, you know, this is clearly something Montreal has been looking for.
Yeah,
we get a lot of invitations to European tournaments, overseas tournaments, all kinds of opportunities for the clubs that I don't think many other clubs here get, in all honesty.
Yeah.
And that's largely in part to our image, our brand image. We do what we see professional clubs do. So you'll find that at Montreal United, as a player coming here, you're going to get the best media exposure out of in any club in the province.
Right.
Photographers, videographers, interviews, media day, maybe an end of the season gala. We're always innovating, always changing. And you'll see also our social media feeds, they look proper. They look professional.
Absolutely.
Which is something I think this province has lacked in their sports clubs.
Yeah. It's having that formality and uniformity of brand presence, but also
That's
being
it.
Able to innovate at the same time.
And we want to build our players as superstars. Part of the development process is building their brands.
Right.
So with our partners, we're able to give our players brand deals. For example, I know you interviewed our good buddy Gabriel.
From
Strips. you know, we're partners with them actually, and they provide gear to our players.
Right.
So these are benefits that players can experience when they're here that they most likely won't find at other clubs.
Right. Absolutely. I love to hear that. I know that there's a Concordia connection there too, and I love the fact that we are within a community, but we're so diverse and doing different things, and we're all able to sort of support or enhance each other's goals in that sense. And I love to hear that.
Yeah.
What are your vision and your goals for the near future? Let's say next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. That's a good question. It takes a lot of thought, honestly, but I think our primary goal this season is to win the trophy.
Yeah.
First and foremost, we have the team to do it. We have a lot of quality. We've been building this team for this summer season. We've been building this team since December.
Okay.
So we've been putting in the work, training sessions, all of that to make sure we're ready. So that's obviously a primary goal for us. But I think long term, our goal is just to continue growing the image, and all the success will come with that.
Right. Sorry, have you faced difficulty with players per se? Because on the outside looking in, I couldn't find a better club in terms of exposure other than Montreal United for a player who's not yet made it to the levels that, he or she would like to in that sense. I want to know more about what challenges have you faced with maybe players leaving, being scouted by other clubs, being poached by other clubs, or players maybe not contributing positively to the environment as a whole. How do you deal with those internal conflicts?
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's important for players to know that it's a privilege to be part of the club.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's obviously a registration fee you have to pay and all this, but there's still policies and guidelines and responsibilities from that we ask for as a club from, our players. So it's never easy if something bad happens. Thank God, you know, it really doesn't happen too often.
Mm-hmm.
But every now and then it's only normal. You'll get a couple guys that maybe aren't happy, or they don't find it's maybe where they want, where they what they expected or anything
right.
like that.
Right.
And to each their own. But that said, we have to make sure at the end of the day that the rules of the club are being followed. That's
right.
The rules of the club are large part of the success of the club.
Absolutely.
So if a player, you know, wants to go against that, come late to practices, not show up, whatever, it's only a matter of time before they have a stern talking to from the coaching staff.
Right.
And that's it. And at the end of the day, look, we're trying to develop you to become a professional.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to show us here that you can act that way. You can act in a professional way. And if you can't do that here, then you won't be able to do it in a professional setting.
Right.
So those talks that you're going to get, those harsh talks you might get in a professional world, we have to give that to you here so it develops your character.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's a great answer. Sorry, sorry. What were you going to say?
No, that's it.
No, I think that's a great answer. I like the way you addressed that. I watch a lot of soccer analysis. I watch Gary Neville, Jamie Carragher, all these guys almost on a daily basis. I love to hear it. I love to know from the outside looking in what happens behind the scenes in a league such as the Premier League in England. I'll address that league just for this question.
Sure.
Sports psychology is a huge part of soccer now in comparison to maybe a couple of decades ago. And we're increasingly seeing a difference being made on a player's life and the way they play, all on the basis of how well sports psychology is dealt with internally within the club. How do you feel as though that role is played at your club, and where do you see that going forward?
Yeah, I mean, as of right now, we don't have like a dedicated sports psychologist.
Yeah,
but it is a growing important part of the game.
Absolutely.
So it's something that we're looking at. But in, you know, like I said, we like to do the best with the resources that we have. So
100%.
Our coaches, our staff also play the role of, let's say, like a team therapist.
Yes.
So
yes.
When morale is low, you know, they'll be the ones, the first ones to send the messages out to the guys. Myself too.
Yes.
The morale of the team and the individual morale of the player is of the utmost importance to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, players that come here, they're not just a number.
Right.
They're truly a family member, part of the club.
Yeah.
So we take care of them. We do things like, you know, team bonding activities, team dinners during the course of the season. This isn't like something that we'll only do at the end, for example.
Yeah.
And all this in the spirit of bringing the morale, bringing the best out of our players. We want to see them smiling.
Yeah.
And that's
absolutely.
If they smile off the field, they'll smile on the field because they're winning games.
Right.
That's the philosophy that we have.
100%. I'd love to hear that. Is there as a president and CEO, have you had certain conversations where maybe potential partners, networks might have undermined your passion for the project or may have not seen the vision that you have? And how have you dealt with that?
I think we're always at Montreal United trying to push the boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
We've kind of become trendsetters in that sense. I look on Instagram and, you know, in all honesty, I see a lot of companies, not just soccer clubs, but companies in general, modeling a lot of their posts, a lot of what they do, the content they provide off of us.
Interesting.
So it's kind of, it's nice to see in that sense because it kind of shows us that, you know, we're doing something right.
Yeah,
we're
on the right path. Yeah,
exactly. We're setting some trends here. So I don't think anyone has really undermined. I think when the name wasn't as known, right, when the company was in its infancy, then it wasn't really a question of undermining. It was more a question of, you know, we don't really know this club yet. But I think now, in the short span of just 3 years, every club knows who we are, and so we have a lot going on. For example, League One, the semi-professional league of Quebec, mm-hmm. we have a lot of games actually organized with those clubs for this season. Okay. So the guys at the top know who we are.
Right.
And that's because of the dent that we're making, the limits that we're pushing here. Right. So I think Montreal United is really setting the standard for a new soccer world, a new mentality of soccer here in Quebec as a whole. We get invited to tournaments, not just in Quebec, but Ontario, European tournaments. We've been invited to the Dominican Republic for tournaments.
Wow.
And I don't think, in all honesty, I don't think other clubs are doing that. So yeah. It's just to kind of give you an idea. We're setting trends in the soccer world, and that's what we want to do. We want to change the scene a bit.
Right. I love to hear that. I've known so many big players who have moved on to the MLS, played in Montreal.
Yeah.
And it's always been, oh, yeah, this one individual plays in Montreal. We might go see him, and it is what it is. And they're usually in their late 30s. And it's almost like a fallen grace where you're getting the bits and pieces from the European football world into soccer world, into our world. And I like the way you guys are doing it a little different. You're almost taking it from the ground up and making this a development club that is competitive, that's on the edge, that's innovative, that's very professional, and is hoping to do great things in the future. I want to move on to a little bit about just getting to the end of my questions regarding Montreal
Sure.
United. I want to know more about the extent to which you feel there's a certain type of player or player mold that you look for in a club. I know certain clubs look for ideally more physically sounded players who are able to go on 50-50 balls and are able to get headers and set pieces. And that's sort of become like the brand of MLS where it's more physical, long balls, so on.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a mold, or is it you look at each individual on a different basis?
It's a great question. There's two aspects that we look at when we sign a player.
Mm-hmm.
There's the technical aspect, and then there's the character aspect.
Okay.
Both are equally as important. So if you, let's say you could be the best player in the world, but if your attitude is not there, if you're not a coachable player, then chances are we won't take you. And that's for the simple fact that a coachable player is easily adaptable. So he's not going to be stuck in his head, I'm this position and that's it.
Right.
We need players who are ready to come into this program, this club, and are ready to be coached, are ready to learn, are ready to adapt. They have ears that are ready to hear. They're not closed-minded. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you mean.
In terms of, let's say, the style that we look for, it really depends on the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
We give our coaches the freedom to implement their strategies. We play a very technical game, a very possession-based game.
Right.
You know, I don't want to give too much information about the tactics, but we look for technically gifted players, quick on your feet, quick on the ball. You're not someone that holds the ball too long.
Mm-hmm.
We like to play a possession game, but when we attack strong, we attack fast.
Right.
And we score a lot of goals. I mean, for example, our preseason, our first game, we won 5-1, and our third game, we won 8-1.
Right.
So we score a lot of goals. We play an attacking based game with a lot of possession.
I love to hear that. It almost reminds me of my team, Liverpool. It's a team I've loved since I was a kid. And it almost brings me back to a project that's just started by Trent Alexander-Arnold. And he started a foundation that supports players who have been released from the youth academies of Premier League clubs.
Oh, interesting.
So a lot of the players, similar to the situation in Montreal, where a lot of these players who are released from youth academies are not supported to go play for maybe smaller teams or teams abroad and then develop them in that stance, because there's a quote-unquote lack of development clubs, which is an aspect of soccer that you guys are addressing 100%, which I think is absolutely great. And that's a similar initiative that Trent Alexander-Arnold has started in the UK. And who knows, hopefully a partnership might string off with Montreal United, putting that out, manifesting for that. Hopefully that works out. I want to go more onto a bit of your personal side. Besides from the world of soccer and media that you're all in,
for sure.
What are their hobbies or interests that you have in your life otherwise?
Oh, wow. That's a good one. In all honesty, I love to cook.
Oh, yeah?
Okay.
I did not see that coming. Okay. Okay.
Many
I love
people
that.
Don't, but I love think that. I think it kind of plays into the kind of that artistic side of me. I love cooking. I think it's kind of like an art form.
Interesting.
And the best feeling is, you know, when someone tastes your food and they like
they're
it.
They're like, so oh, that's great. Yeah.
It's I like that. I like drawing. So again, kind of artistic a bit.
Yeah.
But I love graphic design. I love that. It's basically my love for drawing on a computer screen.
Right.
So yeah, and obviously playing soccer and stuff. Those are my passions.
Those are your passions, 100%. I want to know more about your role as a potential mentor in the future. Individuals like you who are passionate, who are ambitious, who want to start something in the world of sports.
Sure.
What advice would you give them?
I think have faith. Faith is going to be super important. Faith and patience. This is a project that's long term, and even though it's 3 years old, we can't get tired of it, otherwise it'll die.
Right.
So the patience is super, super important. You deal with all kinds of players, and at least in my world, I'm dealing with players every day. So without patience, I'd burn out.
Right.
You deal with different characters and stuff. You're going to deal with, regardless of whether you're in a position similar to mine or not, you're going to deal with people of all types.
Right.
It's important to have patience, good character, and a positive outlook. Always look to make the best out of every situation that you're in. You'll meet people that might undermine you. You'll meet people that maybe don't see eye to eye with you. And that's okay. Not everyone's perfect. But always try to look at the glass as half full instead of half empty. That's right. What I would say.
100%. I love to hear that. And I know in the future, a lot of young entrepreneurs, young CEOs are going to look up to you and your story and see how you've progressed. And hopefully by then you're miles away from where you are now. In the future, fingers crossed. Who in the world of sports or business do you look up to and seek inspiration from?
Wow, that's I'm trying to think here. Honestly, I don't know if I can pinpoint just one person.
Is there a group, maybe a team, maybe a club that you think is run successfully, yeah, really well, and you want to sort of emulate that in a way?
Yeah, you know, I kind of like to take the best things from the best clubs, mm-hmm, and implement it here. Mm-hmm. One club that I've loved since I was a kid was Borussia Dortmund.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're really a club that's centered around the fans, around the players. It's not about making money for them per
right.
se. You know, the famous yellow wall, for example, you know,
yes.
this is the fan club, the fan structure that we want to have.
Yeah.
It's
a community based club.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a community based club. They work hard to get where they are. And I don't think they have much haters, honestly.
No. No.
So I really, really like Dortmund for that reason, is that they are a community-based club. It's in a hard-working part of Germany, you know, and they do the best for their community.
Absolutely. It's honestly, Benjamin, I've really enjoyed this interview. We have about 2 minutes before we wrap up.
Okay.
I asked this to every single interviewee, two particular questions. One, what does a day in the life of Benjamin look like?
Oh, wow. Okay. A day in the life of Ben is nonstop. From the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed, my phone is ringing. I got people calling me,
right?
Whether it's staff, players that just want to talk or ask questions, potential partners, mm-hmm, all this stuff. So yes, we have staff now, but I'm still kind of managing pretty much everything. Mm-hmm. I love to be hands-on in that sense.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't trade that for anything. My phone is ringing all day. Yes, sometimes I get tired, but it's always a blessing, so I'm always appreciative.
What timings are your trainings? Are they the same time every week? Are you there for every training? How does that work?
Yeah, I love to be there for as many as I can.
Okay.
We have multiple teams, so I try to kind of give everyone equal love here. Mm-hmm. But our training sessions are typically Sunday evenings. We try to make it outside of work and school hours because,
okay,
again, a lot of the players are students. So.
Yeah.
We need to make sure that it fits with their schedules as well.
Yep.
And yeah. So we try to accommodate everyone's schedule to the best that we can.
Right. Final question of the interview, Ben. 10 years from now, you're 32. Okay. Where do you see yourself and Montreal United Football Club?
I see Montreal United FC being at the top level of Quebec soccer, without a doubt. And I know that we can make it happen. Where do I see myself? I hopefully see myself being again president of that club by the time that time comes.
Absolutely.
But the goal is always take this club to new heights. And, you know, we started in 2021. In just 3 years, we are where we are. So 50,000 now, who's to say that we can't have 250,000 by that time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ben, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being in the studio. This is Aaron Najani and Ben. We are clocking out and we're going into our second ad of the session. Thank you so much, Ben.
Thank you.
The Concordia Film Festival is back with its 51st edition. From May 9th to the 12th, you can catch screenings, artist talks, and showcases of the short films coming out of the Mel Hoppenheim School of Cinema. This year, the spotlight is on nonfiction, experimental, and genre films. There's also a focus on Canadian student short films and cinema from LGBTQ+ and BIPOC filmmakers. It's all happening in the Hall Building on Concordia's downtown campus and will culminate at the Festival Awards ceremony at 7:30 p.m. on May 12th. For more information, follow Concordia Film Festival on Instagram.
And we're back. Episode 11, Beats and Beyond. We just had an amazing interview with Ben. I'm going to go on to a song from First Man, and hopefully you guys enjoy this. DJ
verstoppertje. Van de koek, jouw klennie is een poffertje. Al draag ik sandalen, maar toch sok ze me. Al kan die prijs van die sandalen toppertje. Want die sani is te duur voor die prijs. Maak die chick naakt, jij door vuur voor die meid. Rij je dikke waggie als de buurman, maar kijk hè. Blinde links als ik stuur door mijn wijk. Johnny's hebben geen te goed bellen via Leica. En ik ben een drukke jongen, maar ik ben op tijd daar. Jij zit in de bijstand, ik ga je niet bijstaan. Maar skeer een tijd, dan stond jij nooit voor mij klaar. Waggie die is rijk klaar, doe nu maar ik rijk klaar. Telefoon op stil, maar voor Doekoe wel bereikbaar. Stek in mijn zak, ben verliefd, dat is met mij klaar. Zij kijkt ervan op, ik kijk niet naar de prijskaart.
Gewoon maar waar ik ga,
gewoon hoef maar.
Zie ik alleen je naam, zeg maar kom je vandaan. Deur ik op naar elkaar. Ik wil weten hoe ik je benader moet. Ik wil weten hoe ik je nu vragen moet.
Ik ben op zoek, alleen naar jou. 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 Hoor waar ik ga, zie ik alleen je naam. Zeg waar kom je vandaan, Turk of Maroon.
This is Wine For Me by Chino. You remember with Chino, we had him on a couple weeks ago. A Montreal artist, up and coming, an Afrobeat maestro, all the way from Zimbabwe. Shout out to Chino Wawa. This is Chino Wawa, Wine For Me. Next up, we have Bandana by Fireboy DML and Asake.
Ask them, them know me. I know they blow trees. So
Next up, we have one of my favorite songs. If you're a loyal listener to Beats and Beyond, our first couple episodes started and ended almost with this song, a personal favorite. I hope you guys enjoy this.
Your birthstone, you're an earth tone. I'm missing you bad, baby, come home. You want me to make it happen, baby, I know. Want me to keep you happy, baby, I know. Penthouse, condo, one on one, I'm a piano. You want me to make it happen, baby, I know. I'm here to make you smile, you feel
happiness, everything my life, no stress, fine boy, no ex. Happiness,
it's a feeling, your life no stress.
Otutu, otutu, oh and yo. Pagara sini, I like all yo. Oum to shiny, kono shimbi. Eja lo montan shi, anobi no bis. Yekwa, yekwa, ashamadi. Ogano te fomo, asabi. Makeskovi, as you can see. Abizongisa, okondo.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Beats and Beyond. It's been an absolute pleasure. This is episode 11. We had an amazing interview with Benjamin, the founder, the president, the CEO of Montreal United. It was an absolute pleasure to have him in the studio. And stay tuned for interviews just like the one we had today, where we have insightful individuals, some from the Concordia community, some from beyond. This is Beats and Beyond. I'm Ari Najani. It's been an absolute pleasure. We will see you same time Wednesday 9 a.m. next week at CJLO. This is Aryan, and we're out.